Hey man, that song's based on probably one of my favorite verses in the Bible, Romans 8:11, that says, "The same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead lives in us, in our mortal bodies." Amen? Well, I want to read our text for today because Dudley's asked me to give an update on the 30 cities' progress so far, and he's given me a text that fits within the Kingdom of God series that really helps me develop that theme. But if I'm going to update 30 cities in 30 minutes, I've got to move fast, right? So let's read today's text and just jump right in. Matthew chapter 18, if you have your Bibles, turn there. Matthew 18, verses 12 through 14. It begins with these words. "What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go to look for that one that wandered off? And if he finds it, truly I tell you, he is happier about that one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should perish." In these few verses, you have the gospel in summary form. I don't know if you realized it. The first thing you see is there's a shepherd, right? Did you notice that? There's a shepherd. A shepherd who owns 100 sheep. And then the second thing you see is there is this one lost sheep that has wandered away. So a shepherd who owns basically everything, right? One sheep that's wandered away. And then there's the action that the shepherd takes when he learns that one of his sheep has wandered off. What is that action? It's in verse 12. Did you see it? What is the action the shepherd takes? Tell me out loud. Read it. What does he do? He leaves. That's right. The shepherd leaves. That's his action. He finds that one sheep is lost, and he leaves the 99 to find that one lost sheep. And then finally, there's the reaction of the shepherd when he finds that one lost sheep. It's in verse 13. Do you see what the reaction of the shepherd is? He's happy. In fact, it says he's happier over that one found sheep than he was over the 99 that never wandered away. Now, let me ask you a few questions after reading this text. Who is the shepherd? I hear different answers, and the truth is they're both right, but we'll make that clear in the text. But verse 14 clearly answers it. It says in verse 14, "Your Father in heaven is not willing that any of his little ones, any of these little ones, should perish." So the shepherd in this story is God, right? It's pretty obvious. In fact, if you know Psalm 23, you already knew the answer, right? "The Lord is our shepherd, I shall not want." We know that. So God our Father is the shepherd. That's clear in this story. And he's so concerned about anyone perishing that in verse 12 it says, he left. He left. Now think about that. Where did God leave? You know the answer? That's exactly right. I heard it. He left heaven. Now immediately, most people who believe in God, let's say people who believe in God that aren't Christians and don't understand our theology, they might believe in God, but they're like, how can God leave heaven? How can he do that? I mean, my small brain cannot fully comprehend this. But it says God is so concerned about one lost sheep, he's so concerned that this one lost sheep might perish, that he left heaven to find the one sheep that wandered off. In other words, if there was only one lost person, God would have left heaven to try and find that one lost person and try to save that one lost person. Have you ever been that one lost person? Are you today, someone sitting here today, are you that one lost person that God is searching for? Is this really what God did? I put a whole bunch of scriptures in your sermon notes. You can take that and look at it. I'm just going to have them start throwing them up on the screen. I'm going to read them to you quickly just to drive home this point that God loves you so much, he was willing to leave heaven to come to earth to show you how to get to heaven. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says, God is patient with you. He doesn't want anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4 says, this is good and pleasing to God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. So if that's true, if that's what God wants, then what did he do to make it happen? Well, the Gospel of John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And verse 14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Why? Because he didn't want anyone to perish. In fact, Jesus says in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, that is why he came, to seek and to save the lost. Now, I've thrown a lot of verses at you, all in an effort to show you the heart of God. People have all kinds of interesting ideas about God, but there's one unmistakable truth that we should all see here, is that God loves you. I would argue from these verses that this God who created the universe, who is bigger than all of the galaxies combined, this God who is beyond time and space, who created this blue speck of dust that we live in called the planet Earth, he loves you. He loves you and me so much that he left his heavenly abode to come down to our level to show us how to get to him. Think about that. It's absolutely mind-boggling. It's incredible. He created you and me. I mean, I'm just a speck of dust. The Bible says I'm just a mist and a vapor, and then I vanish. Why does he even care for me or for you? I don't know the answer, but the Bible says that he does. Like a parent cares for their children, he does. And the psalmist was so amazed by this. In Psalm chapter 8, verses 3 and 4, he wrote these words. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you've set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings, that you care for them. I mean, isn't that just amazing to think about? Now, let me ask you another question. If God is more happy over the one lost sheep that is found than he is over the 99 that never wandered away, doesn't it seem likely that he's also happy when any one of us leave the safety of our church, the security of our home, our prosperous city, our beautiful nation, to find not just one, but hopefully all, if not some, of the 4 billion people in this world who don't know him, who don't follow him, who don't obey him? They've been so deceived by the devil that some of them don't even know he exists. And Jesus speaks into this lost world and he says, I am the good shepherd, and my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. I want to ask some really hard questions, and please don't leave at this point because they are hard questions. If you're his sheep, if Jesus is your shepherd, I want to ask you, have you heard his voice if you've never prayed for opportunities to talk to a lost person? Jesus came to seek and save the lost. That's why he came. That's why the church exists. Have you heard Jesus' voice? If you never prayed as he taught us to, God, you, the Lord of the harvest, I ask you to send out workers into his harvest field. That's what Jesus told us to pray. Have you heard Jesus' voice if you've never even shared the gospel with someone? Have you heard Jesus' voice if you've been unwilling to do what he so clearly commands us to do? He said, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. That's what he told us to do. He told us in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that we are to be his witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So with that as a background, I want you to know that's why we're doing what we're doing this year at Shepherd. The theme, certainty of eternity. God has placed eternity in the hearts of man. He's searching for them, as this text makes clear. And Dudley asked me to give you an update on the 30 cities. You're wearing these bracelets, hopefully, with a city on there. And we've identified the 30 largest cities in the world. We're trying to make a tangible impact in the 30 megacities in the world. Those numbers are just increasing. They're saying by 2030, there'll be 40 plus cities that have a population of 10 million or more. Many you would have never heard of, and they're larger than Los Angeles. We're just simply trying to make an impact, because like Jesus wept over Jerusalem, I believe he weeps over these mega cities, these urban centers of lost sheep. Just last month, I walked the streets of one of the largest cities in the world. It's larger than Los Angeles. It's right next door to another city that's larger than Los Angeles. There's just a river that separates the two. You got Guangzhou, 13.5 million people. You got Shenzhen, and then there's this island of Hong Kong. We've all heard of Hong Kong, but I'd never heard of the other two cities. There's more than 20 plus million people right there in those two cities alone, not even counting Hong Kong. And so I went to the city, and I went into a tower called the Canton Tower, and we've got some pictures we're going to put on the screen. It's one of the tallest buildings in the world, and instead of being amazed, I was up on the 108th floor, and on that one picture where you see the shoes, that's straight down, 108 floors. It took some coaxing to get me out there. We had a team of five, and I was the only one that had to be drug out there on that ledge. 13.5 million people in this city, and I'm looking out, we could look every circle around that tower and see just high rise after high rise after high rise. That's where people live. We rented an Airbnb. We were on the 18th floor of a 35-story apartment building every day reading with people. And as we were reading with people through the Gospel of Luke, trying to share the gospel with them, my heart became burdened. I wasn't fascinated with the city and all that it takes to run the city. I was burdened with the fact that most of these people don't even believe in God. There's another slide that we have of people we were giving bracelets to. Bottom right, coffee shop owner. His coffee shop literally opened a week before we got there. I went in every day, had coffee with him, and we talked, trying to get him to come and read. He never would. He had a tattoo of a dove on his arm. And so we just said, "Are you a Christian?" He said, "No, I'm not a Christian. There's no religion in China." That was a common theme. We shared the gospel with this one young lady, and there was another lady who was a Christian in the room at the same time. And we asked the lady who was an atheist, we didn't know at the time, "Do you believe this?" She said, "I think I do." As she's reading the Gospel of Luke, "This makes sense. Sounds historical." And the other girl said, "Are you a Christian?" And she said, "No, I'm an atheist." And we're trying to understand this, and she goes, "Do you want to be a Christian?" She said, "I can't be a Christian. I'm an atheist." The other girl said, "This country's lied to us since preschool. There is a God." And we're just standing there watching this happen. It was so amazing, but that's what's happened in this city, is they've been taught since birth that there is not even a God. But God is searching for them. And he's chosen to do some of that searching through you and me. And so Shepherd is asking you to be involved in God's global plan and start right here in Los Angeles, because we are one of the 30 largest cities in the world, but also because the world is coming to us and they're asking us to go to them. And it's going to take the whole body of Christ to reach the whole world for Christ. And that's why we're partnering with churches and organizations from all around the world to try and reach the whole world for Christ. And we can't have anyone on the sidelines. Amen? So we've asked you to wear this bracelet this year. And it's got different city names on it. We had probably 10,000 of these. We gave them out at the start of the year. And I broke the rules. I took two. I had Chongqing, but I went to Guangzhou, so I had to get Guangzhou, right? And we had some Guangzhou bracelets left over. And I'm going to throw our media guys for a loop, because I want to tell a story. I want you to go back to that picture of the bracelets real quick. I'm sorry about that. But if you can go back to that picture, you notice we started giving the bracelets to even non-believers. "Hey, we have a church in LA praying for you." And they all took it. We prayed for that coffee shop owner. Those are people in the right, but just other readers that came to read with us. But this couple on the left, I want to tell you about them. Our team went to church at a government-regulated church. There's only 5 approved churches in this town of 13.5 million people. 5. And they got cameras in there. They're recording. They're watching what they say and do. I went to an underground church. I wasn't with my team. They didn't want us all to go, because that would raise the government awareness. You can't have five Americans showing up at a house church. That causes problems. So I went to the house church. The rest of my team went to this government church. But while they're raising their hands and they're worshiping, and other people saw our bracelets, and they had been reading with us. And so they came and they worshiped with us. We had lunch that day. I caught up with them. And Leah, who was the one that saw our bracelets, she's not pictured here. She's an anesthesiologist. I got to read with her. She had a friend here named Sarah. And they all took us to lunch. They all have English names for business purposes. Because they're taught in college, if you're going to be successful in business, you got to interact with the English language. Give yourself an English name. Well, this guy on the left, he was an auto mechanic. He didn't have to interact with anyone globally. So he didn't have an English name. But Leah was struggling with her faith because for lots of reasons. But her friend Sarah was a strong Christian, she said. And she wants Sarah to have a baby. So we're at lunch, and she tells us that she wants Sarah to have a baby, and could we pray that they have a baby? And then shortly thereafter, we find out that he doesn't have an English name. So we asked our team, could you give me an English name? You know where this is going, right? So we're there, and you're like, you want us to pray that you have a child, right, Sarah? And this is your husband, and he wants an English name. And so what'd we name him? Abraham, father of many nations. But I was reading with Leah, who's not pictured, and she says, why doesn't God still do miracles? I said, he does. Why don't I see him? And I convinced her that he still does. I've seen miracles. He still does miracles. Then we need to pray that he gives Sarah a baby. And so I pray, and I'm pleading with you. Would you pray with me that Sarah and Abraham have a baby and that it doesn't take 99 years? Because I want Sarah to know that God still answers prayer and that he still works miracles, amen? And I'm all over the place, but with emotions from that trip, I just want you to know that. But we want you to have a bracelet. And we only have 900 of these left, but later in the lobby, you go out, you take them till they're gone. Don't fight over what city, just grab one, because every city needs prayer. But we want you to go out there. We have these 30 city t-shirts. My wife was wearing one. She was modeling it. I meant to grab one to bring it out, but you can buy those shirts. They're for sale out there, and all the proceeds of that money now are going to the 30 cities. The order of shirts has been paid for. Now if you buy one, it all goes to the 30 cities, amen? But we also want you to go to this website. I want you to pull out your phone right now. Your smartphone, your iPad, whatever you got, go to 30cities.com. It's in your slash prayer. It's in your sermon notes if you need to look at the website. The number 30, the word cities.com/prayer. And click on that button that says pray right now. Now, I want to warn you, you're going to get annoyed at first because when you hit pray right now, you don't get to pray right now. Because most of you, if you haven't done this, you need to enter your email address. And it will never ask you that again after you've done it once, unless you go to a different computer or device. But once you've typed in your email address, and you hit pray right now again, you're gonna see some pictures. Well, you can pray right now and pray for the city of the day, but you could also choose your city from a drop-down list. And you could start praying for your city. And if you're doing that, I'll know you're doing it because I'll hear music on people's phones if you don't have your volume turned down, because music will start playing. So I want you to step through that, and you're gonna see pictures of your city. You're gonna hear the music. And as you do that, I'm simply pleading with you, would you pray with us as Jesus pled with his disciples the night before he was crucified? Will you not pray with me for 1 hour? I'm not even asking for an hour. This is a 30-minute session. But let me tell you what, you can cheat the system. I shouldn't say that as a pastor, but some of you are like, I can't pray for 30 minutes. Then don't. Just keep clicking the right arrow. Read every screen. Every now and then you're gonna have to hit the next button at the top. Just keep doing it, and you're gonna read about a bunch of scriptures to prepare you, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, but then you'll get to supplication, and you'll start praying for your city and praying for the needs in your city. I'm not asking for an hour like Jesus did. I'm not asking for 30 minutes. I think you could do it in 5 minutes if you read as fast as I do. Give us 5 minutes of your time and pray for your city. And speaking of the power of prayer, I want to tell you the story of Ruth, also in Guangzhou. She is a believer in a house church. And the government has come in many times and shut down their meetings and taken their Bibles and forced them to find new places to meet and worship. And we met her, started to read the Gospel of Luke with her, using English as a bridge to build friendship, and they want to improve their English. She brought Lisa, who brought Yu Chin, who brought Xu Fei. We had like six ladies in this one group coming, and we gave her a bracelet, all of them a bracelet. We told her there's a church in Los Angeles of 10,000 people praying for her, praying for them. She went home, told her daughter this, and her daughter was so encouraged, she wanted a bracelet. And so she came back the next day and asked for a bracelet for her daughter, and she said, "You have no idea how encouraging it is to share with my own daughter that Christians on the other side of the world are praying for us. Christians in Los Angeles and the United States are praying for us right now." And then she said, "But don't just pray for us. Pray for the whole world." And fortunately, that's exactly what we're doing. So as we pray, think about the fact that we as a church have made plans to make a tangible impact in each of these 30 cities. So I want to go through a short list of what we've done so far, and we've put these items in summary form in your sermon notes if you turn it over to the back. I'm going to fly through this, but on the screen we have a map that we've put up, and as I list each thing, you're just going to see where in the world this was done. In January, we partnered with Central India Christian Mission to conduct a disciple-making movement training in Dhaka, Bangladesh. And it resulted in 30 church planters being sent out. And this training, the principles that are being taught have been documented to show that there have, because of these principles, over a 15-year period, they had 1.7 million new believers in the country of India, simply from these principles alone. So these 30 church planters were trained in that and sent out. In February, we funded a similar training in Mumbai, India, where there was 100 church planters, and they had a goal to go out and find 400-some Timothys, disciples of theirs, and they wanted to start 386 churches in 6 months. That's the kind of zeal these people have. They wanted to see 1,500 people make professions of faith in just 6 months. In March, we helped scholarship a seminary course in Istanbul, Turkey, for church planters who can't afford seminary courses. And some of them are working in Turkey and in other communist countries, former communist bloc nations nearby. We also funded a training for 14 workers to go into inner city New York and work with the refugees and the immigrants that are coming from countries all over the world. In many of those countries, it's illegal for us to go there as Americans and evangelize or share our faith. But they're coming to us. And so we're reaching them right in New York City with the hope that they will go back to their countries with the gospel. In April, we packed food boxes right here at our church and loaded a Children's Hunger Fund truck that went to inner city LA, and we identified three, maybe four potential church plants right here in Los Angeles that we can support. In May, we identified a church plant in the city of Paris in partnership with the Orchard Group. And we laid plans to support that church as well as other church plants in the near future, including someone from this church that has gone out and is on the ground ready to do a church plant in part of France. Also, with the team help of Team Expansion, we started a translation of an online discipleship curriculum called Zume. We're translated into French. It's already in English. We are funding the French translation, so these church planters can use it not just in France, but in all the French-speaking countries around the world, which there's a lot in Africa, if you didn't know that, and a lot in the Caribbean. In June, we sent the first of 10 teams from Shepherd to one of 10 cities where we're partnering with LST. It's a ministry that is called Let's Start Talking, and they capture people's desire to learn English and use us to build friendships, and we merge the two together, and we just read through the Gospel of Luke. It's all in a nice workbook. And so when we get there to China and I'm reading with an atheist, I just tell them, hey, in England and in Canada and in America and Australia and New Zealand, December 25th, it's a holiday. The whole country shuts down, whether or not they're Christian or not. And so in order for you to understand that culture, we're going to start by reading the Christmas story. Would that sound okay? And they go, yeah. Sounds good. And that's how we begin. And it makes sense to them. So that's what we did in Guangzhou, China. Read every day with believers who were enduring oppression for the faith, but they invited non-believers to be with us every single day. We have a team that just got back from Tokyo, Japan, doing the exact same thing. And we've also funded the translation of the Zume Project into Japanese that they can use in their follow-up and disciple-making and church planning and leadership development. We actually have someone from our church that's going to do an internship, Bible college student, going to Japan here in the next month or so. We'll be there all semester long. So that's another project you might be in prayer about and consider. So it's now July, and next week we're sending another team to Beijing, China, and Seoul, South Korea, to carry out the same strategy of using the English language as a bridge to build friendship and share the gospel. And we're also helping fund a Bible translation project into Korean sign language. How do you translate a Bible into sign language? They actually record on video. I don't know how to sign, but the Korean sign language, so it's a Bible, it's a video. You watch them as they sign all of Scripture. So they're doing that in the Korean sign language. So that's what we've been doing, but in reality, we are just getting started. That's just 6 months, and I've already lost my breath. And my voice is about to go. But we're about to kick this thing into high gear, and here's what's coming in the last 6 months of the year. In July, we're going to sponsor another disciple-making movement training in Delhi, India, with another one later in the same city later in the year. And throughout the summer, if you didn't notice this already, it's been out there. We have a truck from Hope of the Valley where we're gathering clothing and household items to give to ministries right here in LA to help the homeless. And there's a donation truck here next weekend. I think it'll be here for Summer Spectacular for our kids ministry. In August, we're going to sponsor another disciple-making movement training in Osaka, Japan. And as I said, I'm getting ahead of myself. We also have identified a church. We helped start a church in Osaka. That church has now grown to 5 churches. And they have a plan by 2025 to have 12 churches. That's the same ministry that this college kid from our church is going to, but we are identifying how we can support that. And as I said earlier, we're funding the translation of Zume into Japanese. I've mentioned Zume several times, so I'd like you to see a short video of what Zume is in case you want to get more involved in funding that or being a part of it. Let's watch the video.
The American church is in decline, and the country divided over worldview. We are losing over 2.5 million people each year as 4,000 churches close their doors permanently. The fifth largest unchurched nation in the world is the USA. If this is a Christian nation, why is the largest church in the world in Seoul, Korea, while the largest Buddhist temple in Boulder, Colorado? Why is the largest Muslim training center in New York? We must multiply discipleship. We know discipleship is vital, but only 1% of church leaders say we are doing this well. Zume wants to change that. Zume is the Greek word for yeast. Like when Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like a woman who took yeast and mixed it into a large amount of flour until it was all leavened. This goes to show that ordinary people using ordinary resources can have an extraordinary impact for the kingdom of God. How will we do it? Through an online training system, systematically identifying trainees within each of the 75,000 census tracts in the United States. They will start multiplying disciples so the kingdom can be advanced in every nook and cranny of the country. And that's just the beginning. Then the training will be produced in 34 other major world languages and spread to 60,000 additional areas globally, because it's urgent that we multiply and draw people to the Eternal One. Zume, multiplying disciples. That's who we are. That's what we do. Will you join us?
So that's some of what we've been funding as a church. And if that interests you, if you'd like to go through it in English, you just need to let me know. We have already taken several pilot groups. What we did is we targeted the 1,000 people who got baptized last year and invited them all. Unfortunately, you know how that works. You invite this many respond, and this many actually sign up, and this many stick with it. But it's there. And we need decision counselors. We need you to go through it so you can help us multiply this ministry to train every new believer in how to share their testimony and share the gospel. And not only new believers, it's welcome. It's open to any of you here if you'd like to find out more about that. In September, we will send another team from Shepherd to Lima, Peru, and to Rio de Janeiro. That reminds me, I forgot there was a training in Rio. We partnered with Team Expansion on this. They did that training over 3 days. And they had 60 people, and they sent them out to do prayer walk. And while they were prayer walking, they had 17 people make a decision to follow Christ in that one prayer walk time. So we're sponsoring that kind of training all over the world. In Sao Paulo, Brazil, we'll do that. Also in Lagos, Nigeria. They are so excited about the training in Lagos, Nigeria, that they said, we want to do it in Lagos, and then we want to go up north near Boko Haram-held territories and do it there. And we're like, okay. And they just want the funding, but do you need us to go? And I'll be honest, I kind of was scared. And they're like, no, we don't need you to go. I'm like, shoo, okay. Go right ahead and do whatever you want. So we're also sponsoring the similar training in Manila in the Philippines, and we're sending another container of supplies that you'll get to fill like we did on the previous ones for Lima and LA. We'll have that in September. And again, these type of principles we're teaching in these trainings, in China alone, they saw 1.5 million baptisms in 10 years using these principles. They saw 55,000 house churches start in 10 years. This fall, we're also gonna hold a women's conference here at Porto Ranch. But at the same time, we're going to fund a women's leadership conference in Kinshasa, Congo. I was supposed to be there this past week. That's when the event was supposed to happen. But a multitude of events happened. One, Dudley asked me to preach this weekend, so I couldn't fly from the Congo and be here on time. Two, they had an Ebola outbreak. And three, there was some political unrest where the president agreed to step down. So they delayed this, and it's going to be more in conjunction with our women's event here. In October, we're going to send another team to Moscow, Russia, and another team to Cairo, Egypt. And the host for our Cairo event is actually speaking at a church in Santa Monica tomorrow afternoon. So he's right here in town right now. And then we'll have also in November a team go to Mexico City and Buenos Aires, and we'll also have a training in Kolkata, India. So, whew, that's what we've been doing. That's what we're going to be doing. And what's so amazing to me about all these teams that we're sending out is they consist of volunteers like you from Shepherd. They give up their vacation time from work. They raise their own funds to the tune of about $3,000 per trip, per person. They leave the comfort of their home and their family, and they go to a place where they don't speak the language. We can't even read the menu at lunchtime. We're like, Google Translate, what is that? And I can't figure it out. We don't even know what we're eating. We try to encourage the believers there to keep up the good work and see how we can help them through prayer and finances and workers. But what we find out is they're doing a better job than we are. And if anything, we come back more encouraged about the state of the church worldwide. The future of Christianity in the world is bright, and the leaders in the future will not just come from America, but South America, Southeast Asia, Africa. And I'm excited about it. Now, as we prepare to close, I want to bring this full circle. Let me ask you a very important question. So what? You're sitting here today and you need to ask yourself, what's this got to do with me? The cool part of this whole 30 cities initiative is that God has already equipped you and me for this task. It doesn't take special talent. It doesn't take special abilities or special looks. We all have the potential to change the world. That song we sang, Romans 8:11, the same spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead lives in our mortal bodies. Not only can we do this, we get to do this. And I don't know how many of our church staff are here, but I'm just going to speak for myself here. We were challenged this week at a devotion to our staff. You guys get to do this. I get paid to do this. That is sweet. And so if I ever complain about anything in this church, you better pull me aside. Not only do you get to do this, Pastor Sean, you get paid to do this. We all have the potential to change the world. And as followers of Jesus, we don't really have a choice because he has bought us for a price. Your body is not your own, is what 1 Corinthians 6 says. You don't get to decide what you do with your life. If he bought you with the price of his precious blood. Your life is not your own. We're to glorify him with our bodies. Amen? So what's this got to do with you? Well, as a follower of Jesus, we get to pray for the nations. We get to ask God, Lord of the harvest, would you send out workers into your harvest field? I've challenged many people to take that verse, Luke chapter 10, verse 2, and make a calendar alert on their phone at 10 a.m. or 10:02, if you want to be precise. Morning, evening, I don't care. When it goes off, just put in there Luke 10, 2, or maybe copy the whole verse and put it in the note. And I just turned it into a prayer. It's a recurring to-do on mine. Dear Lord, I ask you, the Lord of the harvest, to send out workers into your harvest field. We get to do this. It's a privilege, not just a command. Also, as followers of Jesus, we get to be witnesses for him. Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. I think for us, that means Jerusalem is right here. If we're not doing it right here, then why are we going to put you on a plane and go talk about Jesus in China if you can't do it right here? But we want to teach you to do it right here, amen? We want to teach you to be his witnesses in Jerusalem. That's your home, LA, your family, your work, right where you are, your neighborhood. In Judea and Samaria, that's California, that's greater Los Angeles metropolitan area, that's our nation. But the ends of the earth, that's what Jesus told us to do. We get to do this. And what's more amazing is that hundreds of people groups from around the world are coming to LA. They're coming right to our back door. And not every city has this privilege, but LA does. We get to do this. Let's reach them here so that they can reach their families, friends and family there, wherever there is. People from the Middle East, Saudi Arabia, international students coming to us. Let's reach them here. And as a follower of Jesus, if you don't know how to share your story of what he's done in your life, then I want to teach you how to do that. I've got people that will help me, but I personally will meet with you. You register at shepherdchurch.com/registration/story, and I'll teach you how to share your testimony in 15 seconds and in 3 minutes. Sounds like a big challenge, but I already know how to do it because I've already done it. I don't want to teach you how to do it so you can teach somebody else how to do it. Because in Mark 5, Jesus told the man who was healed of demon possession, don't get in the boat with me. You go back home to your family and you tell them what the Lord has done for you. That's what we want you to do. We get to do this. Finally, as followers of Jesus, we get to be global Christians, because Jesus commanded us to go to all nations, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. He commanded us to be his witnesses to the ends of the earth. How do we do that? Praying for workers and praying for the nations, praying for the cities. We've already talked about that. How do we do this? By giving. Every week when you give to Shepherd, I don't know if you know this, but 10% out of everything that's put in that offering goes to our missions budget. We preach tithing, we do. We challenge you to tithe, but we want you to know we tithe right off the top and give it to our global partners around the world. And so you've already been a part of this, whether you wanted to or not. Amen? We get to do this. But we're going to have chances like November. Dudley's going to challenge you to do a one day's pay. Last year we did this for the first time. We raised $500,000 in one offering that didn't go to anything here at Shepherd. We gave it all away. And we want to do that this year again. So he'll talk more about that in November. We already give $1.5 million away to world missions through our budget, but we get to do more. Amen? But you don't have to wait, because there's one more area of giving that I want to challenge you with. Remember those people I told you about that are going on trips? They're just volunteers. If you go to shepherdchurch.com/trips, you'll see all of our trips listed there that are remaining for the year. Click on the donate to a participant button. You'll see a list of names. You probably won't know the names on that list, or if you do, maybe one. But I want to tell you about the team that went with me. I had an architect and his wife. They might be here tonight. I had a gal that works at a shipping company, a global shipping company. She had actually been to China before with her business. Right now she's at the women's encounter serving women. I had a nurse. All four of those people gave up their vacation, raised their own money, got on a plane for 14 hours. And we ordered by picture because we had no idea. You know, that was our life for 2 weeks. Why do they do that? People thought we were crazy. We do it because we want to spread the love of God to a lost world. Maybe you can't go across the world. I understand. Some of you can't fly for 14 hours, but you can go through our global Christianity course, Kairos. You can take bridges on how to share your faith with other world religions. That's starting right this next week at one of our campuses. You could go to a missions conference. Every year we go to the International Conference on Missions. This year it's in Cincinnati, but it changes every year. Every year we go to Finishing the Task down at Saddleback Church in Orange County. Every year we go to the International Holistic Mission Conference in Phoenix. But every 3 years we take college students to the largest student mission gathering in the world, like 18,000 college students in St. Louis, Missouri. They give up their Christmas holiday between Christmas and New Year to learn about what God's doing in the world and how they can be a part of it. I've gone long, a lot of information, but I want to wrap up by bringing us back to Matthew 18, because after all, this is supposed to be a sermon too, right? Remember that text? One lost sheep and a God who loves that one lost sheep so much that he left heaven to come and find it. You may be sitting here today and you've been overwhelmed with all that I've just gone through. And that's okay. Because in this moment, if you're overwhelmed, I just want you to take the next step, whatever it is. If you're praying, maybe it's to give. If you're praying and giving, maybe it's to go on a trip or go to a global missions conference or take a global missions course. But if you haven't done any of these things, then maybe it's because you've never taken the first step of recognizing that God's been searching for you. He's done everything possible to save you from your sins, but he won't force himself upon you. He loves you. He wants you to be saved, but he still gives you a choice. And he's left heaven and he's come to earth in the form of Jesus to show you that you've lost your way, and he wants to show you the way back to the Father. But you can't save yourself. But Jesus says, if you follow me, my sheep hear my voice. If you follow me, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. If you just listen to his voice, you'll no longer be lost and you'll be found. And he will lead you into this beautiful eternal relationship with God in heaven. It begins right now, but it lasts forever into eternity. And this God who is so vast, he's so huge, he's so transcendent and omnipotent and omniscient, that I lack the words to describe him to you. This God who created you loves you. And he's given you the choice to love him, to obey him. And when we choose to ignore him, when we choose to disobey him, when we choose to leave his path, it grieves him so much that he will come searching for you. And he's been searching for you. Isn't that what we sang about in that song, Reckless Love? And some of you who are here today, he's already found you. Amen? I want you to stand with me. Some of you are here today, he's already found you, and I want to remind you of when he found you. Luke chapter 15, verse 7 says, there was rejoicing in the presence of angels over one sinner who needed to repent. There's more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Some of you here today, you didn't come today looking for God. You didn't come looking for God, but guess what? He's been looking for you all along. He loves you. And even if you weren't looking for him, he just might find you today. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the reason we've gathered. We thank you for what Shepherd is doing this year. And we're thankful that it's not just Shepherd, it's churches all around the world, it's mission agencies. We are so excited to be a part of your global plan because it's a reflection of your heart, how much you love us. But God, I pray for that one lost sheep that might be in this audience tonight. I pray that there's more than one, because anyone who steps out of their seat and walks down these aisles while we sing this song because they want to find you, because they found out you're searching for them, anyone who makes that decision, we want to celebrate with the angels in heaven. We want to rejoice like the angels are rejoicing over one sinner who repents. And so we ask whoever that might be that they would come and give their life to Christ today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.